This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ولا رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome everybody to a juz a day. Today we are covering the 11th juz of the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we have completed the first 10. That's the first third of the Quran. And we are also in our 10th fast. So alhamdulillah, a third of the way we are done. We ask Allah to give us the ability, the tawfiq, the divine grace to complete these fasts in the best possible manner and also to complete our study of the Quran. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. The 11th juz of the Quran begins with Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 93. That's 993. And it ends with Surah Hud, ayah number 5, 11:5. So what it, as you can see, is it spans Surah, the last part of Surah 9, all of Surah 10, Surah Yunus, and the first few ayat of Surah Hud, which is Surah 11. We have crying baby. she is being taken downstairs right as we speak. All right. Alhamdulillah. So that is the juz. That's what it is in front of us, alhamdulillah. And the juz that we were discussing is, at the end of Surah Tawbah, there is, Surah Tawbah largely speaks about the struggle of the Prophet ﷺ against the hypocrites and the description of the hypocrites, how they were, and what are the qualities or the characteristics of hypocrisy that we should be mindful of, right? We should be cognizant of this, because this is something that could creep into us as well. We could end up having these kind of negative traits, and that is what the Quran is warning against. It's not the narrative against the, or the narrative about the hypocrites, is not just some critique exclusively of them. As I said before, every time the Quran is critiquing a group of people, be it the Israelites, be it the Christians, be it the hypocrites, be it even the Sahaba, right? It is meant to be a mirror to ourselves. We're supposed to look at that as like a mirror to say, do I have any of these characteristics in myself? Or does our community have these characteristics? And then the warning is to not have those. So let us pick up actually first from to connect the last part of the previous juz to this juz. Let's pick up from ayah 75 here. Ayah 75 speaks about a very interesting and a very disturbing trend that you might see in people. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. There are some among them who pledged themselves to God, saying, if God gives us something out of his bounty, we shall certainly give alms and be righteous. We will certainly give charity and be philanthropic and good people. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ But when he bestowed his favors on them, بَخِلُوا بِهِ They became miserly. Okay? وَتَوَلَّوْا And they turned away in aversion. Right? This is a people who made a promise. Hey, God, please help me. If you just do this for me, I'll be like this. Okay? Like a conditional promise to God, or a supplication. That's conditional. Hey Allah, if you give me this, then I'll be that way. If you let me pass my calculus exam, I'll be a good person or something. Okay? Conditional.
But then when that condition is fulfilled, they are not able to keep their end of the promise. So what does Allah do to these people? فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ نِفَاقًا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. He caused hypocrisy to settle in their hearts. And this is actually فَأَعْقَبَهُمْ. This is from the word عِقَاب, which is a punishment. As a punishment for their breaking the promise, as a punishment for their character flaws, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed hypocrisy or caused hypocrisy to settle in their hearts. That became their trait, the trait of promising and then not fulfilling. Promising and not fulfilling. That became who they are. إِلَى يَوْمِ يَلْقَوْنَهُ, until the day they met him or they will meet him, because they broke their word to God, and because وَبِمَا كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ, and because they lied. If you look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ says that ayatul munafiqi thalath, the ayah, the sign of a hypocrite is basically there's three main signs. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذِبَ, when he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ, when he makes a promise, he breaks a promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ, when he is given the ability, he's given a trust, something that is to be a responsibility, he betrays that responsibility, he lets down that responsibility. These are three things that the Prophet said characterize a hypocrite. And if a person is, all these three things apply to them, then they are like a, you know, personification of hypocrisy. Okay, but if a person has one of these characteristics, very dangerous that you have one characteristic of hypocrisy in you. So here you see in this ayah, or this set of ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining this part very clearly, because they lied, right? That's what they used to do. كَانُوا يَكْذِبُونَ is actually a very interesting construction. That's what they used to do. They used to habitually lie. And that, you know, that's the character trait of hypocrisy. So something for us to be mindful of as believers, okay? The hypocrites also, you know, there is a contrast that the Quran sets up between the attitude of the hypocrites and the attitude of the believers, right? How the hypocrites would react to something, and the and the believers would react to something. For example, the hypocrites would react to losing out on, they would, you know, for example, stay behind when the battle was raging. Ayah number 81, they stayed behind gladly. They were happy that the Prophet did not take them along the journey for the very difficult battle of Tabuk. Remember, the battle of Tabuk was against the Byzantine Empire, right? So this was a dangerous battle, a difficult battle, a journey of 6 months. Yes. So they were very happy. Yes, we got saved. Huh? وَكَرِهُ أَن يُجَاهِدُوا, they hated the thought of striving for God's cause with their possessions and their persons. This for them was just absolutely unfathomable, right? Because they were not even Muslims in their heart. They were pretending to be as such. And yet, now they're asked to make the ultimate sacrifice. So now when they were left behind, the Prophet ﷺ, they came and made excuses. Oh, I can't go. I'm in this situation. I can't do this. The Prophet said, fine, you don't have to go. He let them be. So then they would say, وَقَالُوا لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرُ, do not go forth in this heat. Because it was very hot. It was a summer journey, right? قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمَ أَشَدُّ حَرَّ, say the fire of hell is far hotter. If they could only understand. This is the thing. They were happy to miss out on opportunities of good. Contrast that with the believers. Ayah number 91. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out the reasons why a person is exempted from, you know, going out to battle. Of course, if someone is weak or sick, or they have no means to spend. Weak here is someone who is like physically weak, yes? Sick, and they don't have the means to spend to finance the battle for themselves. There is no problem that they don't go out. That's the acceptable excuse. But look at the attitude of the believer. When the believers would miss out. The Sahaba, when they missed out on the opportunity for going with the Prophet in this battle, they would cry. وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Nor does any blame attach to those who came to you to be provided with mounts. When you said to them, I can find no mounts for you. They went back and tears welled up in their eyes with sadness. تَوَلَّوْا وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا. Because with sadness, since they could not find any way to contribute. The believers were saddened at the loss of the opportunity. This is a sign of iman, a sign of good faith in a believer, that when they miss an opportunity for good, they are saddened by the missed opportunity. Whereas the hypocrites, they would gladly lie to hide. You know, they would gladly lie and be happy that they missed the chance of doing something that was good. And that was a situation that this is the contrast the Quran paints between the two. Okay. We look at also the hypocrites, that they would lie about why they won't participate. First, Allah says they were happy. They were content to not go back. This is the situation they were in. And then they would lie about why they didn't participate. يَعْتَذِرُونَ إِلَيْكُمْ إِذَا رَجَعْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ. Ayah 94, the first ayah of this juz. They will make excuses to you when you return to them. The idea of the excuse here isn't a legitimate excuse, because you see the legitimate excuses were listed in this ayah. Ayah number 91 lists out what is a legitimate exemption from this participating in this battle. But this is not one of them, right? That they're making, they're trying to find an exception for themselves, which is really a false excuse. قُلَّا تَعْتَذِرُوا. The Prophet is told to say, do not make excuses. We will not believe you. Keep in mind, by the way, I forgot to tell you this yesterday. The Battle of Tabuk, the last battle that the Prophet fought and participated in, was a draft. Everybody had to go. Every able-bodied man had to go to fight. And that's why this became very difficult for the hypocrites, because they were just scrambling to find a reason to get out of this battle. The battle, by the way, actually never transpired. The Prophet went there. The Byzantine Empire never showed up. The Prophet, as he was journeying through Arabia, Tabuk is in far north of Arabia, he made all these peace treaties with every tribe on the way, and then returned back safely and soundly. Alhamdulillah, nothing happened. And the Byzantine Empire, this was a show of force to the Arabian Peninsula, that the army of the Muslims is not to be messed around with. And it was a statement for the Byzantines as well. And a few years later, the Muslims and the Byzantines would square off in the Battle of Yarmouk under the tutelage of Umar radiallahu anhu. And that was a decisive victory for the believers. Okay. But all that aside, this is why they were scrambling to find excuses. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told the Prophet when he was on the journey to Tabuk, that when you go back, they're going to come with all sorts of excuses. And they're going to say, hey, congratulations, great job on the battle. You know, we're really sorry, we weren't able to be there. La ta'tadhiru, do not make excuses. Lan nu'mina lakum, we will not believe you. Qad nabba'ana Allahu min akhbarikum, God has already informed us about you. We know who you are. You showed your true colors. وَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ. God will see your actions, as was his messenger, and then you will be returned to the one who knows the seen and the unseen, and he will tell you all that you used to do. سَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ لَكُمْ إِذَا انْقَلَبْتُمْ إِلَيْهِمْ لِتُعْرِضُوا عَنْهُمْ. You, when you return, they will swear to you by God so that you may leave them alone. They will swear to God, I swear by Allah, wallahi, wallahi, I wanted to come to this battle, wallahi. They will say these things that are lies, so that you can just leave them alone. You know, they don't want any scrutiny, right? فَأَعْرِضُ عَنْهُمْ, leave them alone. There's nothing else to be done. There's nothing else to be done with these people. What can be done? إِنَّهُمْ رِجْسٌ. They are unclean. Unclean not physically, spiritually. This is a person who is to run away from accountability, will say whatever needs to be said. This is a spiritually impure person. And Allah says, وَمَأْوَاهُمْ جَهَنَّمْ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their reward will be hell, as a reward, or as a as Allah's just punishment for them for their actions. Okay, again, the idea here is this. Please don't misunderstand. Someone who's a liar automatically doesn't become hellbound, right? It's a major sin. It's a big deal. It's a huge character flaw. But this is specifically about people who were living a lie in front of the Prophet ﷺ. This is what it's talking about. For the rest of us, the lesson is in the character flaws, right? People just trying to bail themselves out by saying whatever needs to be said. That's the character flaw of the hypocrites. We need to be away from that, as far away, as totally away from that as we can be, right? The character flaw of being a coward, a character flaw of being someone who would, insistingly lie, would break promises. That's where the lesson is for us. Please don't paint someone or think of someone as a hypocrite or apply these ayat exactly on their head, because in reality, these ayat are about a very specific type of people. And these people still exist, but largely in places where it's convenient for them to pretend to be Muslims, to undermine the majority of the Muslims, okay? This is not generally something that you find as a phenomena outside where there is a minority of Muslims living as a community, okay? The characteristics are for everybody. Okay, hypocrites are, there's a tangent about the Bedouins, right? Who are these Bedouins? These Bedouins, Al-A'rab, right? Ayah 97. أَشَدُّ كُفْرًا وَنِفَاقًا وَأَجْدَرُ أَلَّا يَعْلَمُوا حُدُودَ مَا أَنزَلُ اللَّهِ. It's a very severe statement. The desert Arabs are more stubborn in their denial of the truth and hypocrisy. This is a very stern statement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the nature of these people. The desert Arabs, not the ones who lived in Medina, not the people of Quraysh. These are the Bedouins who were roam around Arabia, and that's how they lived. And because of the constant moving and shifting that they were doing, they were very rough and very difficult people to deal with. And what happened is that they had some very, very poor interactions with the Prophet ﷺ and with the Sahaba afterwards. Okay, continued to be like problematic people until much later. Okay, what was it? They would, the zakat is demanded of them, and they will see zakat as it wasn't like given as charity, right? They would accept Islam. Okay, now you have to pay zakat. And now they weren't really happy to give zakat. And they would, وَيَتَرَبَّصُ بِكُمُ الدَّوَائِرِ. They would consider like zakat as like some sort of fine that was levied upon them. Not as a sadaqah, charity you give happily. Yes, this is like a fine that's been levied upon us. Why do you have to pay this? Very bizarre attitude. And they will wait for misfortune, right? They're like, you took our money, may something bad happen to you. What a terrible attitude, right? Compare this to the attitude of the believers, right? خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Ayah number 103. Take alms out of their wealth to cleanse them. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. And purify them. وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. And pray for them, O Prophet ﷺ. Inna salataka sakanun lahum. Your prayer will be a comfort for them. Wallahu samiyun alim. God is hearing, all hearing and all knowing. The Prophet ﷺ would pray for a person who would give sadaqah, right? And that prayer would be a source of comfort. The Prophet ﷺ would pray for us, the ummah, right? And he would pray for the ummah so frequently, as he was make his daily prayers, he would pray for his ummah on that frequent basis. And his prayer is a source of comfort for us. The attitude of the believers here is the way the believers see them giving their wealth is a way of cleansing our sins, purifying us, increasing us, attaining Allah's mercy, attaining the comfort of the Prophet's prayers and the peace and serenity of the Prophet's prayers. That's how the believers would see their charity. Compare that to these guys who would see it as like a fine. Okay, but Allah, as I mentioned to you again and again, the Quran is not going to paint everybody with the same brush, but there are people from the the Bedouins, يُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَيَتَّخِذُوا مَا يُنْفِقُوا قُرُبَاتٍ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Ayah 99. Those who those who believe in God in the last day and regard what they spend for the cause of God as a means of bringing them nearer to God and of deserving the prayers of the messenger, right? Wa salawat ar-rasul. They see this as an offering coming closer to Allah. They see this as a way to earn the prayers of the Prophet, to attain the blessing. Ala innaha qurbatul lahum. This shall certainly be for them a means of drawing near to God, and God will enter them into His mercy, and indeed He is forgiving and merciful. Okay, the Quran describes the believers in this surah. There's an amazing contrast here between, you know, Sahaba who are fully committed, and the believers, you know, in general, and then the hypocrites. They're described in very beautiful terms. Okay, they're described as those who, they are the ones that Allah is pleased with them. God is well pleased with them. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. And they are pleased with Him. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتِ. He has prepared for them gardens through which rivers flow, where they shall dwell forever. And that is a supreme achievement. Right? A very beautiful description. Ayah number 111 speaks about more of this. Ayah number 111 speaks about إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَيَقْتُلُونَ وَيُقْتَلُونَ. God has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth in return for the garden. They fight for the cause of God. They kill and are killed. It is a promise binding on him in the Torah, the Gospel, and the Quran. And who is truer to his promise than God? فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي بَايَعْتُمْ بِهِ. Then rejoice then in the bargain, the trade that you have made with God, and that is a supreme achievement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about this as a trade. You see, like our sacrifices, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like, you made a trade. You made a trade, you've invested in your akhirah today. And then you will reap the rewards of it later in the best trade of your life. This is the greatest investment that you made in your life. When you invest in your akhirah by doing something good, that is the greatest investment. At-ta'ibun. Look at this beautiful description of the righteous, of the believers. May Allah make us of these. Ameen. At-ta'ibun. The believers are those who turn to God in repentance. Number one. Al-'abidun. Those who worship Allah. They're, you know, devoted to Him. Al-hamidun. Those who praise Him. Praise Him in good times. Praise Him in bad times. As-sa'ihun. Those who go about in the land serving His cause. From the word siyaha, they travel around. They travel around not to like take pictures and selfies. They travel around to do some of God's work, to serve the needy, to teach the people, right? To do whatever is required. Ar-raki'un, those who bow down. As-sajidun, those who prostrate. Number six. Al-amiruna bil-ma'roof, number seven. Those who enjoin good. Wa-nahuna anil-munkar, number eight. Those who forbid evil. Right? Those who stand up for justice, stand against injustice. Al-amiruna bil-ma'roof wa nahuna 'anil munkar. Number nine, al-hafidhuna li-hududillah. Those who observe the limits set by God. Nine beautiful descriptions here of who the believers are. And these are generic terms, right? This could apply to anybody. As long as you fit the bill, it applies to you. The ayah applies to you. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Give good news to the believers. May Allah make us of these. Ameen. Okay. The surah speaks about, as I told you, speaks about the hypocrites. But before it goes to, I'm going to actually conclude with a little bit about the hypocrites at the end. I'm going to make three quick points with the surah and then we move on. Number one, about the hypocrites at the very end, about the Prophet ﷺ, and number three, about a group of people that got in trouble, that were righteous people. Okay, look at this ayah, ayah number 117. لَقَدْ تَعَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. God turned in mercy to the Prophet ﷺ and the emigrants and the helpers. The emigrants, al-muhajirin, are the ones who left Mecca and came to Medina. Wal-ansar are the people from Medina who hosted these people. They're called the ones who helped them. Okay, al-ladina taba'uhu, fi sa'atil usra, those who followed him in the hour of hardship. This is what Allah calls the battle of Tabuk, the hour of hardship, because that was a very difficult battle. That was a very difficult lead up. That was a very difficult journey. That was a very difficult return. Everything about it was difficult. Okay. And this was at the very end of the Prophet's life. The Prophet is not very young at this point. He's 62, 61, pushing 62, right? Yet he's leading the army in the Arabian summer across Arabia, going all the way north to where Tabuk is. You know, this is a difficult time. But Allah said, every one of those people who accompanied him, Allah has turned to them in mercy. مِن بَعْدِ مَا كَادَ يَزِيغُ قُلُوبُ فَرِيقٍ مِّنْهُمْ. After the hearts of a group of them almost faltered, he turned towards them. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ. He turned towards them in mercy, for he is compassionate and merciful towards them. This is the thing. Difficulty was so severe, even the Sahaba were, you know, some of them were almost faltering. They couldn't keep up. They couldn't keep up, some of them. Yes? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported their hearts and they were able to keep up. But there were three Sahaba, right? There were three Sahaba who did not have a valid reason, did not have any valid reason to stay behind. You see, they had no valid reason to stay behind. They were supposed to be in the army, right? And this is the three Sahaba: Ka'b ibn Malik, Hilal ibn Umayyah, and Murara ibn al-Rabi'ah. Sorry, I had forgotten the names. I was quickly looking them up here as I was talking to you. And the most decorated of them is Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who was one of the earliest people to pledge allegiance to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the Prophet wanted to come to Medina. In fact, he was part of the first delegation to pledge allegiance and tell the Prophet, come to Medina, we will host you, we'll support you. Okay, now, this decorated Sahabi, a lifetime of achievement and good deeds, he ended up procrastinating to a point where the army had departed and he wasn't able to prepare for the 6-month journey. And he missed the battle along with the other two. So these three ended up staying behind. And when the Prophet came back after the journey and he asked, okay, how come you weren't there in the battle? The hypocrites would come and they would lie. They were like, oh, sorry, Rasulullah, we really wanted to come, but this happened or that happened, or someone got sick or I got sick, right? They will make these excuses. And the Prophet would, you know, no, even though he knew they're lying, he would say, okay, fine, right? Because he wasn't going to interrogate them. He would take them on their face value, their word on face value, and kind of move on. Hypocrites come, die. The Prophet says, okay, fine. Now comes the Sahaba, right? Now comes here, as the Prophet returns from the battle, here comes Ka'ab ibn Malik and Hilal ibn Umayyah and Murara ibn Rabi'ah. And they come and the Prophet asks them, you know, what made you stay behind? What caused you to not join us in battle? And they said, we had no good reason. They told the truth. They told the truth. And as a result of them telling the truth, they were under a like a social embargo almost, right? That's like the best way to say it. It's like a social boycott, right? They were basically, no one was allowed to speak to them. No one was allowed even to return their salam, right? To say wa alaykum as-salam. No one was allowed to you know, interact with them. Of course, they lived among the believers. They would, you know, walk around. But imagine, it's like they were just essentially like a world by themselves in the middle of the whole community. And that was the punishment that was given to them. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. Okay, this lasted for many days, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them when He revealed this ayah, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. He has turned with mercy to those three whose case was deferred, when the earth for all its spaciousness closed in upon them, and their own souls strained or straightened to them, and they realized that there was no refuge from God except in Him. He turned to them so that they may turn to Him. He turned to them in mercy, ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا, so they may turn to him in repentance. God is ever forgiving and most merciful. This idea of turning in repentance is an expression. What does expression mean? Expression means that you're turning to Allah and you're turning away from sin. And Allah turning to you is Allah is accepting you going to him and asking him for forgiveness. That's the expression and the image I hope is clear in your mind. This is what happened to them. But you see, these people didn't lie because they were believers. They told the truth. They had to live with the consequences of the truth. And that is the story of a believer who has like who made a mistake, right? Your mistakes, you should never try to bail yourself out by lying. And this is the lesson from the story of Ka'b ibn Malik. In fact, right after Allah says, you know, oh, believers, fear God and stand with the truthful. Because the truth will set you free. It is going to be the thing that will allow you to attain salvation and paradise. So this is those people, alhamdulillah. A couple of other things that I want to mention about the hypocrites, right? You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very end of the chapter of the surah talks about the hypocrites again. Okay, and you would say there's a lot of discussion about the hypocrites. What is up with that? Okay, look at this passage, ayah number 124. وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَقُولُ أَيُّكُمْ زَادَتُهُ هَذِهِ إِيمَانًا. Whenever a chapter is sent down, there are some of them who say, which of you had his faith increased by it? But as for those who believe, it increases their faith and they rejoice. But as for those with sickness in their hearts, it adds defilement to their defilement and they die in a state of denial. Do they not see that they are tried every year once or twice, yet they do not repent, nor would they be admonished? When a chapter is revealed, وَإِذَا مَا أُنزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ نَظَرَ بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ, they glance at each other. هَلْ يَرَاكُم مِّنْ أَحَدٍ, is anyone watching? Did someone hear us talk in private? How come this is revealed to the Prophet? No one was there. How come he found out about it? Allah found out. Allah knew about it and told the Prophet about it. That's how he found out. ثُمَّ انصرفوا. Then they turned away. صَرَفَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ. They turned away. So Allah turned their hearts away. You see how the image is like polar opposites? ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا. They turned to him. So Allah turned to them in repentance. Yes, they turned away, the hypocrites. So Allah turned their hearts away from Islam as well. بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, because they are people who don't understand. Okay, the hypocrites, I'll tell you something about them. As we were, you know, talking about them, the hypocrites were people who had, you know, not just like not just like they weren't just like a problem in terms of like societal, like they're just inconvenient, right? They were actually plotting against the Prophet ﷺ to overthrow him. As the Battle of Tabuk was building up, the Byzantine Empire had, you know, planted some of the, or had been in touch with some of the hypocrites. And these hypocrites were acting like agents for the Byzantine Empire. Okay? And how were they acting like agents? They constructed a masjid. And that masjid was going to be their base where they could run their operations from. Okay? And to add legitimacy to this masjid, they were like, hey, why don't we get the Prophet to come pray in this masjid? That will give it legitimacy. And now our operation will be undercover. You see? They were literally spies acting as rogue agents for a foreign power while living and pretending to be Muslims. Okay? And to add insult to injury, they're like, let's do it out of a mosque. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in ayah 107. Then there are those who built a mosque to cause harm. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّخَذُوا مَسْجِدًا ضِرَارًا وَكُفْرًا, to spread apostasy. وَتَفْرِيقًا بَيْنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and to spread disunity among the believers. وَإِرْصَادًا, and as an outpost, لِمَنْ حَارَبَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ مِنْ قَبْلٍ, for those who had from the outset warred on God and his messenger. This was the Byzantine way. They would plant spies around, you know, different there against the people that they were fighting, promising money and promising land and whatnot when they eventually won. And that's what these hypocrites were doing. They're like, let's ally with the Byzantines. Hopefully the Byzantines can beat these guys and then we will become rich and powerful. Okay? وَلَا يَحْلِفُنَّ إِنْ أَرَدْنَا إِلَّا الْحُسْنَى. They swear our intentions are nothing but good. It's a masjid. You wanted to pray. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ. But God bears witness that they are lying. لا تقوم فيه أبدا. Do not set foot in it, O Prophet ﷺ. Only a house of worship founded from the very first day upon piety is worthy of your setting foot therein. In it are men who love to be purified, and God loves those who purify themselves. This is talking about Masjid Al-Quba, the first masjid built by the Prophet ﷺ for the sake of the first ever masjid he established. That was the masjid. The Prophet said, that's the kind of masjid that you should step foot in and pray, not this kind of masjid that's set up for completely nefarious reasons. So see, the hypocrites were not just some, you know, societal problems, some people who were saying like mean things, and then that's it, no harm done. No, they were harming the Prophet ﷺ at every level, on a personal level, on a governmental level. The army of the Prophet ﷺ was always compromised by these people, you know, and the Battle of Uhud, a third of them left the army. At the Battle of Tabuk, many of them failed to show up. Whoever wanted to go, they wanted to undermine the orders of the Prophet ﷺ. At every turn, they were harming the Prophet. Even the person, the leader of this group, his name was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. I want you to read these two ayat, the very last two ayat of Surah Tawbah with me. And I'm going to talk about this guy because he's very important as a contrast to how the Prophet ﷺ dealt with these people. Ayah number 128. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. There has come to you a messenger from of your own. عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. Your suffering distresses him. He is deeply concerned. حَدِيثٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's deeply concerned for your welfare. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. He is full of kindness and mercy towards the believers. This is the description of the Prophet ﷺ. اللهم صل على محمد. فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا. But if they turn away, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. Say, God suffices me. La ilaha illahu. There is no deity but He. Alayhi tawakkaltu. In Him I put my trust. Wa huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. And He is the Lord of the glorious throne. By the way, this dua, Hasbi Allahu la ilaha illahu, alayhi tawakkaltu, wa huwa Rabbul Arshil Azim. You should read this ayah, this expression, 7 times after Fajr, you know, in the morning, and 7 times after Asr in the evening. Okay? Basically, you should read it after sunrise and before sunset. 7 times. The Prophet said, the one who reads this 7 times, this supplication, whatever it is that they want to, you know, whatever it is that they are trying to complete, whatever it is that they're trying to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that it gets done in the best possible way for them. Okay, so it's a very beautiful dua for us to put our trust in Allah. 7 times you should say it after sunrise and before sunset. Okay, and the time is vast. You can say it like, you know, even like 10 a.m. or something, no problem, inshallah. Okay, so this is a very beautiful supplication. Now, this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Prophet. Now, check this out. Ayah number 80. Ayah number 80 says something very interesting. Ask, it is the same whether or not you ask forgiveness for them. Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum. Yes, Sister Sissy, I'll post that inshallah. Even if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, God would not forgive them. For they have denied God and His Messenger, and God does not guide the evildoers. The Prophet ﷺ, the people who undermined him and personally hurt him and were trying to act like agents for a foreign government and were trying to, destroy his army from within, the Prophet ﷺ will still pray for these people. He will still make dua that, oh Allah, guide these people. Guide them to Islam. Oh Allah, they don't know better. Guide them. And Allah says about these people that, oh Prophet of Allah, even if you ask Allah for forgiveness 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. It doesn't matter how many times you pray for them, they are not going to be forgiven. The Prophet actually said about this. He's like, if I knew that if I asked forgiveness 71 times and Allah would forgive them, I would have asked 71 times. Meaning, if I knew there's a figure of how many times I have to ask Allah to forgive them, I would do that gladly just for their forgiveness. While these people are his enemies from within. This is how the Prophet was. Ra'ufur Rahim, the most kind, the most merciful. The man who hurt him the most in his life, the most, right? Outside of like a sworn enemy like Abu Jahl or whatnot, those people obviously were trying to kill the Prophet, right? But the one who was trying to hurt him without killing him was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, the leader of the Munafiqun. He's the guy who accused the wife of the Prophet, our mother Aisha, of having an affair. He's the guy who at every turn would oppose the Prophet, would undermine his orders, would make fun of the Prophet behind his back and mock the believers behind their backs, and would try to go make deals with the other opposing armies, and. Endless list of grievances. When he died, the Prophet stood there, about to pray his janazah. Umar radiallahu anhu intervened, said, "Oh Prophet of Allah, how can you pray his janazah?" And he said, "This on this day, he did this on this day." The Prophet said, "Ya Umar, I was given a choice and I made my decision. Alayk ilayka anni ya Umar, move away from me, Umar. I will pray." When the Prophet prayed, then this ayah was revealed afterwards. Wala tusalli ala ahadin minhum mata abadan wala taqum ala qabri. Ayah 84. Never, O Muhammad, pray for one of them who dies, nor stand by his grave to make dua for that person's salvation. Innahum kafaru billahi wa rasuli. They have denied God and his messenger and have died in rebellion and died wahum fasiqun, in a state of rebellion. You see, brothers and sisters, right? This is how the Prophet was. He would pray for his enemies, the ones who hurt him deeply and dearly. He would pray for them. And he would say, if I knew a figure of amount of times I had to pray for their salvation, I would pray for them in that amount. And these are people who tried to do everything to undermine him. And yet here he was continuing to supplicate for them. And this is the kind of heart that he had. Ra'uf or Rahim, of kindness and mercy. Right? And this is a very beautiful and fitting end to the surah, because the surah began with some very stern words about, you know, the polytheists and a very stern foreign policy, right? But how fittingly it ends with the most gentle of the of all humanity, the Prophet ﷺ, and the description of him. And in contrast to the hypocrites who, despite everything they've done against him, the Prophet would still pray for them. And that is such a beautiful ending to this surah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his prayers and blessings upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All right, next surah is surah number 10, surah Yunus. Yunus is the name of the Prophet of Allah, Jonah. Yunus is that prophet. And it's a very interesting thing because his name only comes once in the surah. It comes only once in the surah. In fact, I will show you that ayah, because that ayah is a very interesting ayah. That ayah is at the very end of the surah, ayah number 98 of the surah. فَلَوْلَا كَانَتْ قَرْيَةٌ آمَنَتْ فَنَفَعَهَا إِيمَانُهَا إِلَّا قَوْمَ يُونُسِ. It's the only time this word comes here. لَمَّا آمَنُوا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابِ الْخِزِّي فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينَ. Yunus alayhi salam, Jonah, as you might know, was the one who was sent to his people, and he was calling them to worship Allah. They were like, nope, as is the norm with the people. And then he was angry and he left them before Allah gave him permission to leave. And as a result, the message was not fully conveyed. Remember, we've spoken about this. The message has to be conveyed. The messengers are interrogated on the Day of Judgment, are questioned by Allah on the Day of Judgment to make sure that the message was delivered. And only then the people are held accountable. The message in this case was not fully delivered. So the people, when they saw the punishment come, they were like, yeah, we believe now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the punishment from them. And then in turn, Yunus al-Islam had to suffer some punishment. He was thrown off the boat that he was on. He got swallowed by a whale. And then he made dua in that state that, oh Allah, forgive me. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, rescued him from there and sent him back to his people. And he found them all believing, right? He found them all believing. So this is an interesting anomaly historically. Right? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here. Why was there no other people other than the people of Jonah who should have believed so that their belief would have benefited them? right? The people of Jonah were the only ones who, when they believed, their belief saved them from the punishment. كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمْ عَذَابَ الْخِزِي. Once they believed, we lifted the torment of shame from them during their worldly life and let them enjoy our provision for a while. Every other nation that was destroyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala previously, they believed when it was too late. They believed when it was too late. It wasn't going to count, right? As we will see, for example, right? If you were to see the story, I'm going to actually go to the story of surah number 71, the story of Nuh alayhi salam, right? This is a very interesting example. Nuh alayhi salam says, my people, if my presence among you and my preaching to you of God's revelations offends you, know that I have put my trust in God. So agree on your course of action. And of course, they did not do anything. They did not believe in him. فَكَذَّبُوهُ فَنَجَّيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ مَعَهُ فِي الْفُلْكِ. They rejected him and we delivered him and those with him in the ark, and we made them successors while we drowned those who belied our signs. Like, subhanAllah, this is the thing. These people had all the chance in the world to believe. They did not believe. And even if they believed as they were being punished by the flood, it was too late. Okay? The next interesting person here that's mentioned is Fir'aun, ayah number 75. Allah mentions Musa and Harun, right? And Musa and Harun, the story we've covered in quite a bit of detail, right? That Musa came to them and he's saying, this is the truth. They said, well, this is not the truth. You're just a magician. And Musa says, how can you say I'm a magician? Ayah number 77. How can you say this is sorcery? وَلَا يُفْلِحُ السَّاحِرُونَ. I'm not a sorcerer. I'm a messenger of Allah. Okay? They would accuse him that you've come here to turn us away from our culture, right? أَجِئْتَنَا لِتَلْفِتَنَا عَمَّا وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ أَبَاءَنَا. Have you come to turn us away from what we have found our forefathers following? وَتَكُونَ لَكُمَ الْكِبْرِيَاءُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. You want to be supreme in the land. Both of you, Musa and Harun, you want to rule. That's why you're doing this, right? وَمَا نَحْنُ لَكُمَا بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. Very, very, misdirections from the people of Fir'aun, the mala, the chiefs, the leaders. They're trying to misdirect and distract from the message of Musa alayhi salam. Okay, the whole story about the magicians is mentioned here. Okay, but now look at this. فَمَا آمَنَ لِمُوسَى إِلَّا ذُرِّيَّةٌ مِّن قَوْمِ. But none save a few youths declared their faith in Moses from the people of the Pharaoh. Okay. For fear, عَلَى خَوْفٍ مِّن فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِمْ أَنْ يَفْتِنَهُمْ. For fear that Pharaoh and his nobles would persecute them. Pharaoh was high and mighty. He was the one who transgressed all bounds. You see, they had all the time. The people of Egypt could have accepted the prophet of Musa alayhi salam, but they didn't accept a very few people. Okay? Musa alayhi salam, as he knows that time is about to come before when Allah is going to separate between the good and evil, he tells his people to be patient and to, be steadfast. Bani Israel says, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. In God we put our trust. Our Lord, let make us not a trial, i.e. the subject of persecution for the oppressors. لَا تَجَعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Deliver us by your mercy from the people who deny the truth. Deliver us, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this. Okay, this is the thing. This is Bani Israel. They have, this dua is the dua of the Israelites. The Quran is recording it, and we should make it. Okay, because this was a good dua, and this was good that they did. Yes, when they do something that's good, the Quran records it and praises it and acknowledges it. When it's something that is worthy of critique, they are criticized. This is a point I like to drive home, inshallah. Okay. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى. We reveal to Moses and his brother, set aside for your people some houses in the city and turn them into places of worship and be constant in prayer. أَنْ تَبَوَّأَ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً. This is applicable to us today. Turn your homes into a qibla. Turn your homes into a place of worship. Not turn your homes into a masjid. Turn your homes into a qibla. Qibla is the direction of prayer. Meaning, be so dedicated in worship. It's as if your house has become like a direction of prayer. Wa aqimu salat, and establish prayer therein. And وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Why is Allah telling Musa alayhi salam to do this? Because he knows Fir'aun, if he sees them praying publicly or gathering in their synagogues, he's going to come and kill them. So leave your places of worship, but congregate in your homes and be very firm in establishing the prayer. Because before you are relieved of this tyranny, you have to establish the prayer. Your help will come through your prayer. It will give you strength to have the courage to stand up to this tyrant. Subhanallah, think about us right now. We're not standing up to a tyrant, but we are in the middle of a pandemic and we are shut off from our masjids and everything is closed, right? This is an ayah that applies to us. وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبْلَةً. Turn your houses into places of worship. Let's make our homes into qibla, into a place where we're establishing the prayer. Let's do it as families together. If you have family who's living with you, you know, bring them together and pray together. If you don't have family living with you, you can follow, by the way, the recitation of the Taraweeh, right? Pray the obligatory prayer by yourself, but follow the Taraweeh and pray within the city. It's okay, inshallah, right? We are in unprecedented times and we have communication that never existed before, right? The Zoom call is... has very little lag, you see. So inshallah, do that for the sake of establishing the prayer. And if you don't want to do that, establish the prayer by reading the Quran from your phone, reading the Quran in your hand. Do whatever is required in your prayer, even if you have to pray in a language that's native to you, right? Because you're having difficulty praying in Arabic, pray whatever you have to pray. Establish it. Turn your house into a place of constant prayer. This is how Allah's victory and help comes. And that's what we should do in hope of Allah alleviating this pandemic from us. We ask Allah to do that quickly. Ameen, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay. Musa alayhi salam makes dua against Fir'aun. Okay? He makes dua that, oh Allah, destroy their riches and harden their hearts, so that they should not believe until they are faced with a grievous punishment. And Allah says, your prayer has been granted, don't worry. Okay, now look at this. Remember I said the name of the surah is Yunus, right? Because Yunus alayhi salam is a historical anomaly. Only his people believed when they saw the punishment and Allah accepted their belief. But the people of Noah, maybe they believed at the time of the punishment, was too late. Fir'aun. Look at this. We brought the children of Israel across the sea. Pharaoh and his troops pursued them arrogantly and aggressively. When he was about to drown, Pharaoh exclaimed, "Amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel wa ana min al-muslimin." I believe that there is no deity save him in whom the children of Israel believe, and I am one of those who surrendered themselves to him. I'm a Muslim. Pharaoh is saying the shahada. It's too late. Al ana wa qad asayta qablu wa kunta min al-mufsidin. Now you see the punishment, it's too late. You see the angel of death, it's too late. You see the day of judgment begin, it's too late. You have to do it while you still have agency. While you still, iman is still an act of faith still. Once it becomes something you see with your eyes, it's too late. That, and perhaps Fir'aun was saying this to trying to get out of being someone who was dying. He didn't want to die. He was trying to get out of it and probably didn't mean it. Either way, it was too late. وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ وَقَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, today we shall save your body so that it may serve as a sign for those who come after you. For many people are heedless of our signs. Subhanallah, this is that story, the surah Yunus. That's where that name speaks about. You have to believe before it's too late, right? You have to believe before it is too late. That is one of the main themes of this surah. Another important main theme of this surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the truth, al-haq, right? And this is a word that repeats in this surah a lot. 23 times, in fact, this word comes in this surah, al-haq, the truth, al-haq, the truth. Okay, if you were to go and I'll show you, for example, ayah number 25. Ayah number 25. It says, "Wallahu yad'u ila daris salam, wa yahdi man yasha'u ila sirati mustaqim." God calls people to the home of peace and guides who He wills to a straight path. Okay, and He is the one. Those who do good works shall have a good reward and more goodness besides that. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً. Those who do good, they will have a lot of al-husna, the best, and even more. وَلَا يَرْحَقُوا وُجُوهَهُمْ قَطَرٌ وَلَا ذِلَّةٌ. No darkness nor ignominy shall cover their faces. They are destined for paradise, and wherein they shall dwell forever. Okay? A very beautiful description. But those, وَالَّذِينَ كَسَبُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ, right? Those who go to hellfire, they have كَسَبُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ. They have earned good deeds, earned evil deeds. And thus, جَزَاءُ السَّيِّئَةٍ بِمِثْلِهَا. The repayment of that shall be in proportion. وَتَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٍ. They will have ignominy, and no one is going to be able to protect them from that. كَأَنَّمَا أُغْشِيَتْ وُجُوهُمْ قِطَعًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مُظْلِمًا. As though their faces were veiled by night's own darkness. That's how they will be. Their faces will be gloomy. Okay? أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. It is those who are destined to the fire of hell, wherein they will live forever. You know, there's some logical arguments that the Quran makes here about, you know, why Allah is the truth, right? Like, فَذَٰلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ الْحَقِّ. That is your Lord, your God, that the true Lord. Okay, what is that? Some arguments the Quran makes. قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ. Ayah number 31. Who provides sustenance for you from the heaven and the earth? Who is it who controls the ears and eyes? Who brings forth the living from the dead and the dead from the living? Who governs all affairs? سَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهُ. They will say God. They here is the people of Makkah, by the way, the Quraysh. They accepted this, yet they wanted to worship other idols as a means to God, or as those idols were like, as God would be too aloof from them. So these small idols would be more in tune with them, right? And that's how they would see things. But Allah's like, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who runs everything, and everything is by His permission. Right, controls that, you know, He is the one who He provides sustenance from the heaven and the earth. Right, He runs this, and also He is there when He yamliku sam'a wal absar. He hears and sees every one of us. Right, so He is running the whole thing, and also very much in tune with us personally. There is no need for other gods. There's no need for intermediaries. There's no need for making confessions to a people for your sins. Nothing of that is needed. Only Allah is the one who you need to turn to. فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Will you not fear Him then? ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبُّكُمْ. That is God, your Lord. What is there besides the truth but error? فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ الْحَقِّ إِلَّا الضَّلَالِ. If it's not the truth, then what else is it? It's going to be falsehood. فَأَنَّا تُصْرَفُونَ. Other examples, ayah number, 67 here. Ayah 67. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَالنَّهَارَ مُبْصِرًا. He is the one who has made the night dark for you, so that you may rest in it, and the day a source of light. Surely there are signs in this for people who listen. لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَسْمَعُونَ. Okay? This is something, a very important theme of this surah. Ayah number 3 has this. He is the one who has created this heaven and the earth in 6 days. Right? He is the one. Ayah number 5. He is the one who has made the sun radiate into a brilliant light, and the moon shed its luster. جَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ ضِيَاءً وَالْقَمَرَ نُورًا. The sun is like this burning heat. The night is like, the moon is a cool light. Okay? وَقَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلٍ. Because the moon reflects the light of the sun. قَدَّرَهُ مَنَازِلٍ. He has ordained the moon to have these stages. لِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ. These heavenly bodies, the sun and the moon, allows us to, organize our lives through years and through time, through counting and keeping track of time. Yes, that's how we track it. مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ God has not created the, all these without a purpose. Everything is running in such beautiful, such beautiful harmony. It's not random. يُفَصِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَعْلَمُونَ He makes plain His revelations for men of understanding. إِنَّ فِي اخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ In the alternation of the night and day, how this the perfect system runs like clockwork, day in and day out, and all that the God has created in the heavens and the earth, there are signs for people who are God-fearing, people who want to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are signs for them. So the ayahs here of the Quran, like I mentioned, ayah number 67 and others like it, are bringing us or bringing to our attention the ayat of Allah around us, the ayat of Allah outside of the book. So that we can connect them to the ayat of Allah inside the book and be certain in that Allah is the one who is the truth, who is worthy of worship. The surah concludes, right? It's the surah concludes, Surah Yunus, by mentioning something very, very beautiful. Okay? I will pick it up from here. Ayah number 98. Okay? وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا Had your Lord pleased, all the people on earth would have believed in Him. Okay? There would have been no evil if God wanted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave everybody the choice. Everybody has the choice to choose good or evil. Truth or falsehood. Everybody has the choice, has been given that choice. And it is Allah's design, it is Allah's plan to have forces of good and have forces of evil. And that's how the world is. It's that battle between the two. There's forces of good through humans, through angels, through Allah's revelations. There's forces of evil through humans, through the devil and his minions, through false ideologies that people champion. Through all these things, there's good and evil, and Allah has allowed them to exist and then given people the choice to choose. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا Everybody without exception would have believed. But you can compel people. أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ So will you compel people to believe, to become believers? وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تُؤْمِنَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ No soul can believe except by the will of God. This is a gift from God. That we are believers, this is a gift from Allah. He chose us. It's by His permission that we are believers and we continue to be believers. وَيَجْعَلُ الرِّجْسَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ He will place the filth of doubt upon those who do not use their reason. If they're given to their biases, they are not going to be able to use their reason. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will place that on them. قُلْ انْظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Say, look on whatever exists in the heavens and the earth. Look around you for the signs to arrive at the truthfulness of Allah. وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ But the signs and warnings do not benefit the people who don't have iman. This is an okay translation. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ is they don't want to have faith. If you don't want to have faith, you can study the universe until you die and never connect the dots. Never connect the dots. If you don't want to believe, you don't want to find purpose. Okay? This is what Allah says. وَمَا تُغْنِي الْآيَاتُ وَالنُّذُرُ عَنْ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ The person has to want it, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to allow it. And if a person wants it, Allah will allow it. 100%. 100%. Allah will never misguide people who want to be guided. He will actually give them even more guidance. But the person has to want it first and foremost. فَلْيَنْتَظِرُونَ إِلَّا مِثْلَ أَيَّامِ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ What can they be waiting for but the punishment that came to those before them? What's stopping you from believing? You want to see like some people destroyed by a punishment of Allah like before and then you will be like, yeah, I believe now. It's not going to be enough. Like the example of the Pharaoh, like the example of the people of Nuh. It's not going to be, that doesn't work. قُلْ انْظُرُوا قُلْ فَانْتَظِرُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُنْتَظِرِينَ So wait, I'm one of those waiting with you. ثُمَّ نُنَجِّي رُسُلَنَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Every time this happens, Allah will save our messengers and those who believe. And thus, كَذَلِكَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نُنْجِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Thus, we have made it incumbent upon ourselves to save the believers. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. Say, O people, إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي شَكٍّ مِّن دِينِي. If you're in doubt concerning my religion, فَلَا أَعْبُدُ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Then know that I do not worship those whom you worship instead of God. وَلَكِنْ أَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ. I worship God alone. الَّذِي يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ. Who will cause you to die. Whatever you worship will not be able to prevent your death. That's, you know, the brutal, honest truth. Whatever it is will not be able to prevent your death. It is Allah who brings you into the world, and when He wants, you will leave, and nothing can stop that. Nothing can stop that. And that in itself, there's a sign there. That itself is a sign there. وَمِرْتُ وَنَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And I am commanded to be one of the believers. And I've been told, I'm commanded to set my face, or set your face towards the true faith in all uprightness. And do not be of those who ascribe partners to God. And do not invoke besides God what can neither help nor harm you. Don't make dua or worship anything other than Allah, because they have no way to help or harm. فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذَا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. And if you did that, then you would be indeed from the wrongdoers. وَإِنْ يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرْ. This is an example. If God inflicts harm on you, فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّهُ. None can remove it but He. How many diseases is it that happen to a person, and the best doctors would be like, we don't know why this happened. We can't really explain why this happened. We don't know what's ailing you. How many times does that happen? وَإِنْ يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ. But, and if He intends good for you, فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ. No one can withhold His bounty. How many times can people recover from illness when they're told you have 2 weeks to live, you have a month to live, and then they are recovered and they are, fully healthy? Because Allah is the one who's in charge. These are just the means He's given us. These are means that we take as much as we can. But the one who's in charge is Allah. يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِي. He grants His bounty to any of His servants who He wills. Whoever asks for it, Allah will give it to them. We have to ask for it though. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Because He's the most forgiving and the most merciful. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. O people, قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الْحَقُّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Truth, the truth has come to you from your Lord. فَمَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتَدِي لِنَفْسِي. Anyone who accepts guidance is guided for his own sake. It's for your own benefit, right? You're not doing anybody a favor. The only one you're doing a favor to is yourself. وَمَنْ ضَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَضِلُّ عَلَيْهَا. And the one who goes astray does so at his own peril. It's their loss and not Allah's loss. No one's loss. If a person's like, I don't want to be Muslim. Well, you know what? It's your loss. Nobody else's loss. Okay? And if you're like, I want to be a Muslim, oh Allah, help me. It is your gain and nobody else's gain. Because the one who gets helped is you. When I say your gain and nobody else's, as in like the one who's a beneficiary, first and foremost is you. Other people will benefit also because they helped you and you helped them, etc., etc. That's all secondary. Primarily, you are the beneficiary and you are the one who lose. And it's the choice is yours. And the thing is, Allah will always open the door. Always open the door. Keep it open as long as you are willing to walk through it and as long as you want to walk through it. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. I am not appointed as your keeper. I'm not there to, police you. The Prophet ﷺ is being told, his job is not to police people. His job is to convey the message. Then the people decide. وَاتَّبِعْ مَا يُوحَى إِلَيْكَ وَاصْبِرْ. Follow what is revealed to you, O Prophet, and be patient. Right? Be patient here is, don't act irrationally. Wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings about His judgment. حَتَّى يَحْكُمَ اللَّهُ. Until God gives His judgment. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. He's the best of judges. This is the end of Surah Yunus. Alhamdulillah, we were able to cover it in some level. Not as fully as the other Surah, Surah Tawbah, but I really wanted to give us some good insight into Surah Tawbah, especially how the Prophet was compared to the hypocrites. And I hope that was beneficial to you all, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for everybody for coming out again today. And inshallah, I'll see you again tomorrow, same time, same place. And inshallah, we will be covering the 12th just tomorrow, Surah Hud, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la